Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome, my friends, fourth and final hour of our get together. We affectionately call this the 9 o'clock stretch. Oh, that feels good. 9:06 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here and plenty to talk about. And joining us right now, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. Good morning, Commish. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Beautiful day here.
Absolutely gorgeous. Hey, one of the big things, and I had a guy on that was trying to explain to us, because it's a lot to wrap your head around, but this whole decoupling of the racehorses and the parimutuel and the betting and all of that, you're not in the House or the Senate. You're the Ag Commissioner. But I still want to get your take on this. Is the decoupling, the idea of decoupling, a good idea? Because we're very concerned here in the horse capital of the world that, you know, horse racing might go away.
Yeah, no, that's a really complicated issue, Bob. And the fact of the matter is what I believe, if we're going to have a sustainable, thriving horse industry in the future, we're going to have to come out of, we're going to have to have not have these players all connected with each other. So if you say is decoupling necessary, I think for the industry to thrive 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, yes, but it probably has to be decoupled, because clearly the track owners can come to the legislature and try to disrupt horse world every year, and then you have to depend on the legislature to do a pushback. At some point, we have to get out of that situation where we're putting fires out every year. But I do think there is a plan that we could go forward on, maybe build a big old beautiful horse facility track there in Ocala to run on, and have a lot of horse racing there, and really do it, you know, with a modern television and modern views, and really make it some sort of a spectacular event. And so I think there's a path forward. I'm not sure that this year decoupling's going to happen. I think it's probably too close to the end of the session. There's a lot of turmoil going on up here right now. But I do think it's something in the long run that we're going to have to figure out and reinvent horse racing in Florida. And by reinvent, I mean, you know, should we be running in Tampa and at Gulfstream? I'm not sure in the long run, because again, if every year they can come threaten decoupling, we have to get that threat from off of our head.
Well, the decoupling is not coming from the racing side. The decoupling is coming from the side that, you know, doesn't want to run live horse racing. They just want the gambling, is my understanding.
That is exactly right, and that's what I'm talking about. We can't let that side continuously hold, you know, the horsemen hostage. We cannot do that as a state, and we haven't. They're coupled. When we decoupled the other things, High Line and other entities, what, 4 or 5 years ago when I was Senate President, we did that. We left on purpose horse racing coupled, because we wanted to have a robust horse industry here in the state of Florida. We've been very supportive of the horse industry, not only in the legislature, but as Commissioner of Agriculture. It's a big part of our heritage. It's a big part of our economy. It's a big part of, you know, Florida history. And so we are all wanting to save it. I'm suggesting that if we continue to let the property owners and the owners of the racetracks push away from the horsemen, I think over time it's going to continue to erode those relationships. So we probably have to have a little different model 3 to 5 years from now than we have today. And by the way, I'm very optimistic that that's going to happen, and we will have a very thriving, not only what we have today, it'll be much better than it is today for our horse industry in the long run. But I think we're going to have to transition from these tracks to a more centralized track where the horsemen would control their own destiny, where we're not being controlled by large landowners, you know, in other parts of the state.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the horsemen, I think they understand that they just need a longer period of time than I think is being offered. One bill said 7 years for the decoupling to take place. That one's been kind of shelved, and now there's a bill that I think only gives them, what, 3 or 5 years? I think it's 3 years. And so that's a major concern of theirs. That's just too much of a rush for them to kind of get things in order. And then I keep hearing the Stronach name thrown around, and we know like Frank Stronach owned a lot of property in the area and in the state. He was a, you know, multi-billionaire, and his daughter sued him. She basically runs the whole show. She owns Gulfstream, and basically what this seems to boil down to is here's a very powerful person, a very wealthy person that's trying to push her way to get what she wants and could really be the demise of horse racing in Florida.
Well, I think that is a narrative that's out there. I don't think the state of Florida.
You don't think it's true?
No, I do think it's true that she's wanting to decouple. I think it's true that she wants to develop her property in South Florida and to eventually remove horse racing from there. What we have to do as a state is come up with a solution that provides the horsemen a long-term solution, a 50, 100-year solution to this issue of decoupling. And in the meantime, they are coupled. And in the meantime, I believe they will stay coupled. But when you have two partners that are vehemently opposed to each other like that, and the horsemen are not opposed to her, she's opposed to them, right? Mm-hmm. And but when you have that situation set up, the best thing we could do is have a split there where we do not need her facility and we do not need that support from their industry, that the horse industry would stand on its own, mm-hmm. in its own facility and do its own business. So I just think that there's a lot of work here that's got to be done. And obviously at some point, if, you know, I'm Commissioner of Agriculture currently, I clearly love the horse industry, been a big part of it most of my life. And there's certainly industry seeing this industry thrive. And I think that's actually where we'll end up. I think we'll end up in a better place 3 or 4 or 5 years from now than we are today, because we're going to get rid of this adversarial relationship, in this case, between the horsemen and the Stronach group.
All right. And look for a better way forward. I like that. Also, Congresswoman Kat Kamick talked about a bill that's coming out that I'm sure you're very familiar with. And this has to do with Mexico, tomatoes, and American farmers and tomatoes. Is this a good thing, the intent to withdraw from the 2019 agreement? Is this good for Florida ag?
Yeah, in the long run, it will be better. And what's happening is that a lot of our foreign competitors, including Mexico, do not honor the agreements that we sign. We sign agreements, but you may as well write them on toilet paper, right? Because it's all the good they get out of them. And so what they're doing is they're imposing a 21% tariff on the Mexican tomatoes, and that puts us in a position then to compete here in the state of Florida. And, yeah, when you think about these bad trade, and I've said this many times on your show, when you think about these bad trade agreements, even if they appear to be good trade agreements, if the other countries do not abide by them, well, again, they're useless, right? And so we have to protect our – if you want to protect your green space in Florida, if you want to protect your food supply, buy fresh from Florida. And the antidote to bad trade agreements is fresh from Florida. That's what we can do ourselves. Buy Florida products. Number two, the Trump administration is very serious about unfair trade practices from these countries, because it's not our farmers competing against other farmers. It's our farmers competing against other countries. You know, the country of Mexico, the country of China, these large countries come in with unlimited amount of resources, and that's who we're competing with. So, yes, the Department of Commerce is nixing this agreement with the trade agreement that we had, and they're going to add approximately a 21% tariff, and that is going to allow our tomato industry to thrive here, or to succeed. And thrive is a big word. It's going to allow them to succeed and continue to have a very large export business here, from the import and export business here from the state of Florida. And I think it's very important that since we have 300 commodities, this is great for the tomato farmers. I think we have to look at it across the board, because our small farmers, most of us in Florida are small farmers, right? We're over 300 commodities. They need the same kind of protections as we have out in the Midwest, where you have people that own tens of thousands of acres that are growing corn and wheat. And so we have to do a better job as a country. But the best job that we can do as a state is to buy fresh from Florida and protect our Florida farmers.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the blueberries fresh from Florida as we speak, and they are juicy and delicious. And we always appreciate your time. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, sounds good, Bob.
All right. Man, time is flying. It is 9:15. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. More headlines, more top stories. It's all coming up on a happy hump day, Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, and another gorgeous day in paradise. Indeed, my friends, it is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 9:20. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, harshly criticized a Maryland sanctuary city for releasing an illegal migrant charged with murder. Oh. Maryland, huh? Is that where that Maryland man is from? Oh, You mean the man they keep saying is from Maryland, but he's from El Salvador. Uh-huh. And where is he now? He's in El Salvador. He's a member of MS-13 gang, or so says two separate judges in court actions against him and for the deportation of him. But the lefties want to cry. Forget about all the victims of illegal immigrants and their crimes. Forget about them all, apparently, because you've got the Democrat, like Chris Van Hollen. Oh, he's got to fly down there, do a wellness check on this guy?
Right.
The people on the left, look at what their priorities are. Look how kooky and crazy and how out of their way they'll go for someone who's not an American citizen, but an American citizen could be raped and left to die, and, well, they don't seem to be all that concerned about it. American citizens can have their cars destroyed, lit on fire, acts of arson going on. They don't stand up and shout it down. Oh, not until Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro got his house torched, then finally said, well, I don't care where the violence is coming from. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. I just don't want it anymore. Well, tell your Democrat pals that they should have spoken up sooner. I'm not condoning what happened to the governor's mansion. It's absolutely wrong. In fact, I'm against all acts of terrorism. Yeah, and that's what they all are. They're acts of terrorism. They are going after easy, soft targets, doing damage mostly and usually to the most innocent people because they think it'll bring about some sort of political change. Mm-hmm. We have to agree as a nation, we don't accept any political change that's being pushed by terrorism and terroristic tactics. But the left would not say anything about the Teslas that were being attacked and destroyed. They wouldn't say anything. They were asked. They were asked questions by the media. All they had to do was say, of course, people acting out and damaging anybody's vehicle for any reason is absolutely wrong. And they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. How hard is it to make that statement? Mm-hmm. And what are your constituents going to be mad at you because you're for enforcing the law and you're against terrorism? I mean, if those are your constituents, you know, I hope you all burn in hell. I mean, that's all you got to do is stand up to it. But they won't. And by not saying anything, your silence is condoning it.
Well, they told us that when it comes to Black Lives Matter, that if you don't say anything, you're part of the problem.
Yes.
Silence is violence was their line.
You're exactly right.
But now, where are they?
Yeah. ICE Baltimore says the sanctuary county of Prince George's County in Maryland ignored their detainer request and released a two-time previously deported Guatemalan illegal alien alleged murderer in the community. This from Bill Malusion of Fox News reported this Tuesday. 32-year-old Renee Popchub, not making that up, Popchub, is facing pending murder charges there, but ICE says he was released from local custody last Tuesday with no cooperation or notification. The local jurisdiction did that on purpose. That's the tactic they used when they were sanctuary cities. Well, sanctuary cities are supposed to be banned. They're supposed to be no more. ICE Baltimore found him anyway and arrested him. In a statement, ICE said that the Hyattsville people in the community, they were at risk by the fact that their detainer request was ignored by Prince George's County. And, you know, there are stories like this all the time. Again, the Democrats don't want to stand up for what is right. They're condoning violence. They're condoning illegal aliens to be able to basically run free, even if they commit serious crimes. How does that make sense? Really, how does that make sense? It doesn't. But here it is. It's happening. Florida's top law enforcement officer is warning the mayor of Orlando that he could be removed from office if he implements a pro-migrant law passed by the town city council. In 2018, Orlando approved local rules entitled the Trust Act, which aimed to turn Orlando into a sanctuary city. But state officials are warning Orlando that sanctuary policies are illegal in Florida. Florida Attorney General Republican James Uthmeyer jumped to social media on Monday to warn Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer that sanctuary city policies had become void when Governor DeSantis signed a statewide law in 2019. But yet here we have these jurisdictions wanting to overrule the state law.
And they are aware. They're not total. I mean, they make stupid decisions, but they're not stupid.
Buddy Dyer's been in politics for decades. He is fully aware.
Yeah.
Fully aware. Yeah. If the city enforces the policy, as Mayor Dyer suggested, especially with Orlando Police signing a 287G agreement with ICE, there will be consequences. Sanctuary policies are not tolerated or lawful in Florida, Uthmeyer's letter reads. Failure to abide by state law may result in the enforcement of applicable penalties, including but not limited to being held in contempt, injunctive relief, and possibly removal from office by the governor.
Wow.
Yep. Mm. Mayor Dyer responded with a letter of his own, basically saying, the administration, they don't have any intention of violating federal or state law.
Okay.
Then why all the brouhaha?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It is 9:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. And coming up next, I'll give you today's code word so you'll have a shot at winning Rock the Country tickets. So stick around. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Another wonderful day. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed to be here in North Central Florida, are we not? Weather's awesome. Hanging out with great people like Greg Cassidy.
Well, I thank you, sir.
You doing all right?
Doing good. Good.
Did you get the Jeep washed?
Jeep washed, yard mowed, trimmed, little weeding going on there. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, getting some stuff
done.
Not
bad.
Around the house.
I'm going to try to hit the gym a little bit today and then do as little else as possible. And
nap time, I'm sure, is in your future.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although, with the new CPAP machine, I got a pretty good night's sleep.
But I am a napper. Yeah, you are. You're not going to give up your naps.
You're probably right. you're probably right. Hey, let me give out the code word, because this will be your last chance for today's code word. Mm-hmm. This way, you have a chance to win Rock the Country tickets. We the people coming to Florida Horse Park, Ocala, May 9th and 10th. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Tracy Lawrence, Gavin Adcock, Joe DiMassina. There's a bunch. It's going to be a great show. 2 days. I mean, think about it. And 2-day tickets are $139 each. GA Plus tickets, they call them, are $289 each. Tickets on sale now at rockthecountry.com. But if you want to win them, you want to text the word Marion to 20357. That's Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N. Text that to 20357. And good luck. And then we'll do it again tomorrow with a different code word.
Little Birdie tells us that Robert, keeping the last name secret, Robert from Gainesville was yesterday's winner.
Robert!
Yeah, way to go, Robert. Go. You know who you are. You're going.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Wink Martindale is gone.
That's sad.
Yeah. The game show we call life
has
ended for him, at least on this planet.
He was good.
I liked him. He had a great career. He had over 70 years in entertainment between being a DJ and running all those fun shows that that he was part of. And, he was kind of a, big deal back then for a game show host. Tic-Tac-Doe, High Rollers, Gambit. Mm-hmm. But he was a DJ before that. He was buddies with Elvis.
Back in the day.
He basically tortured Elvis's mom. Get Elvis on the show.
Uh-huh.
And he finally did. And I guess they became, lifelong friends. And he had what it would appear to be a pretty good life. He even hosted a popular kids TV show. So he did it all. Wink Martindale, rest in peace. Don't ever cause death, but 91.
91, that's could be the cause. 91.
Yeah, that could be the cause. All right, what else do we have? Let's go through some of the top stories. Trump administration refers New York Attorney General Letitia James for possible prosecution related to mortgage fraud. One who said nobody's above the law, the president's not above the law. You said Mar-a-Lago is worth this much. I say it's not. What do you get, like a $400 million judgment? Over $400 million.
Just crazy.
So all
should have happened.
She deserves all the little karma coming back to her that is available. China, what's the dealio? Mm. Well, the ball is in their court. Who says that? President Trump? They've got to make a deal with us. And basically, China needs us more than we need China. But the standoff continues. Meanwhile, a lot of other countries are coming forward, working out great trade deals. It's going to be great for everybody. Some of them have decided they're going to invest even more in America, moving some of their manufacturing here. Honda was one of the latest to come out and say they might move some of their manufacturing from Mexico and from Canada and locate it here in America. Those will be American jobs. That's a good thing. The tariffs are working. Trump's using them as a leverage and a tool to get on an even playing field with many of our trading partners. The holdout is China, of course, but he's not going to give up on that. What else do we have going on? Well, as a result, Trump's presidential, his approval ratings are the highest since his inauguration, 54%. And that, after the left telling us, basically it's the end of the world with tariffs, we're going to, the economy's going to crumble, we're all going to die, kind of mentality. Apparently people are smarter than that. And so he's still getting very high marks. And the people, I don't care what the media says, the people are behind him. We're behind him. We know he's an excellent negotiator. We know and trust what he's doing is going to be good for America. And we don't even hear the lunatic voices of the left. And they truly are lunatics. There's no other way to describe these people and their derangement. Ramaswamy doing great in Ohio in the governor's race, according to some polling. And it jumped significantly after he got the seal of approval, the golden seal. The golden seal in the beginning of the golden era of America. But the golden seal came from Trump. Trump said, yeah, Ramaswamy, go get him, Tiger.
There you go.
And the numbers went up. All right. American pastor that was kidnapped in South Africa has been rescued. He is safe. He is unharmed. But it was a deadly shootout that did ensue to rescue him. This was in South Africa. And he was found inside the same car that the suspects were in, but was miraculously unharmed.
Wow.
Oh, because there was a lot of exchange of fire. They call it a high-intensity shootout.
And he doesn't get hit.
And they killed the three bad guys in the car that were in the car with him, and he didn't get touched.
That's good gun control. That kind of gun control we believe in.
Maybe, you know, the fact that it's Holy Week might have something to do with it. You know, miracles happening.
Yes, they do.
Big big boulders, you know, moving.
Rolling away.
Kinds of crazy stuff going on. Elon Musk's Department of Doge reportedly cross-checking federal data to prevent illegal aliens from receiving housing and employment benefits, according to a recent report. And yes, they have been receiving a lot. And hopefully through this, they'll be able to put an end to it. And whenever the lefties tell you how the Republicans are going to, they're going to hurt Social Security, no, they're protecting it. They're doing everything they can to help save it. It's the Democrats that don't want to enforce any of the rules, whether it's immigration, whether it's who should be getting Social Security or other related things and who's not. Yeah, they're not actively participating in making our government better, more efficient, serving the citizens of the U.S. You know, the citizens, you know, those people.
Oh, the people. As in we the people.
Well, see, I was going to say that's the people that make it a country, that and sovereign borders.
Mm-hmm.
But the left, they don't respect either one. And that's not that's based on actions or lack thereof. And you know it. And then another big story, and I can't wait to hear more of this. And this is, you know, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who's, you know, he's been on maybe some thin ice, you know. There was the leak. Yeah. There's some issues there. Well, two top advisors were just escorted out of the Pentagon and placed on administrative leave Tuesday after being identified in an investigation as leakers. These aren't people that collect, you know, paper clips in the corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These are, well, one's Dan Caldwell, a top advisor to Hegseth, and Darren Selnick, the Pentagon Deputy Chief of Staff.
Wow.
It's not clear what their motives were, but one official said Caldwell leaking information to far-left reporters to hurt the secretary. Not known yet what the unauthorized disclosures were. And while Musk, they kind of set up the leak. I guess they told everybody that Musk was going to be sitting in on a meeting that normally the chiefs of staff, it would be, you know, a secret. It would get people's attention if Musk were to be in there. It would probably rub people the wrong way, although it wouldn't necessarily have been, like, illegal. But it leaked out about this meeting. Well, the meeting took place, but not where the leaker said. And so that helped them to narrow it down completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. And that's what you got to do. You got to clean out the people that are trying to undermine your authority and the will of the American people. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Larry, good morning.
Hey, morning, Bob. I know you don't have much time. So just real quick, President Trump's about to sign a bill that was just passed, 88-2, which is going to reduce regulations and bring about quicker building of, like, SMRs. You know what that is? It's small modular reactors. This is something that I've been waiting for a long time.
This is something both of us have been waiting for a long time.
Well, this is going to happen. Both Trump and Musk are pushing hard on that. And that's where I'm putting some of my money.
I get where you're coming from, Larry, and I greatly appreciate it, my friend. We will talk to
have
you soon.
Day.
All right.
Yep.
I'll see you at the yacht club, Larry.
The yacht club there in
Keystone Heights. Are you making fun of where
in
I live?
The Keys? Oh, no. Am I laughing?
Betsy actually had little shirts made up. Keystone Yacht Club. We were playing pickleball. Somebody goes, "Yeah, Keystone Yacht. I never heard of that." And I go, "Yeah, it's because we made it up." But
I like it.
It's cute.
Well,
we have a boat.
You live in the Keys, and you got a boat.
We got a boat. It's not a ship.
There's water.
It's not a ship. No. Some people have a ship. We don't have a ship. We have a little boat. Bigger than a dinghy. Not by much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're happy. And that's all that matters, right? You know what would make me happy? If people would call in with some really good things that make you smile. Just take a moment. and count the blessings that are all around you, the good things that are happening in your life. And there's a couple of reasons why. Look, it's Holy Week. We're constantly bombarded with negativity, negative images, bad thoughts. Stressors are all around us all the time. And every once in a while, we need to stop and take a breath. And take in the good stuff. Because if you can hear my voice and you live in this area, you're enjoying the good life. All right? So I invite you to participate in things that make you smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in right now with your upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. Next on 97.3 The Sky. Another day in paradise. Here we are. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Call now 877-975-9825. Good morning, Kevin. What's making you smile?
Loving this beautiful weather on Holy Week and looking forward to a beautiful service on Easter Sunday. That's what's making me smile.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen, yep. Brother.
Yeah, we do three.
Get it?
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
do three what?
We do three services, because we do like a sunrise early, like at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then two others
I like
after that.
That.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm going to the Trinity of Services on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have special, you have anything special for that?
What? No.
Peasant with a pitchfork, wow. What's making you smile?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I happened to catch World News Tonight last night with David Muir, and he had a story on there. About a 757, I think it was United Airlines 757, had a rabbit strike on its right engine, and it took the engine out, and they could only fly for 75 minutes. And then his buddy Gio Benitez comes on, and David Muir says, you're probably wondering how a rabbit got into the engine of a 757 at 70,000 feet. But Gio Benitez said there were four rabbit strikes on airliners in 2024. And I'm thinking, I'm 67 years old. I've never heard of a rabbit strike on an airliner. And now we're supposed to believe that they're so ubiquitous that they happen four times in 1 year and we don't even hear about it.
And that makes you smile? I'm not following the line of thinking here.
But apparently it did multiply since there was one and now there's four.
Oh, that's what rabbits do.
They multiply.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was trying to make it a smile.
Well, it's better than he did. Mark, what's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Last night was the first night of the year that the fireflies showed up in groups at the edge of the forest. So it's just really magical watching them fly around and dance with their tails glowing. So it's a very short thing. It only lasts about a week, but that was fun.
Oh, and they're already gone, huh?
Huh.
All right. Good morning, Mike. What's making you smile?
I had to make a trip all the way from Ocala up to St. Augustine. And I got your signal all the way.
Nice.
Right on.
That's awesome.
Wow. That is awesome. I love that. And thanks for letting us know that. Don't go away, though. We are not done yet. Coming up next, it is The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Hang on. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. So, director Chris Columbus, he directed Home Alone 2. That was filmed in New York, actually at Trump Plaza, and Trump has a cameo in it. And this guy, Chris Columbus, obviously is left of center, but he had to admit, we screened the film in Chicago. When the cameo came up, they cheered and cheered. They thought it was great. They thought it was hilarious. I never thought it was going to be considered hilarious, but now he wants to try to cut it out of the film. Yeah, he wants to cut Trump's cameo out of Home Alone. He says, it's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Wow. Whew. He's smoking something. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. God bless you and your family. See you.